Tourism will come to order. Chandra, please call the roll.
Chair Trujillo?
Here.
Vice Chair Porter?
Here.
Representatives Albritton?
Here.
Anton? Combi?
Here.
Dentel? Eagle?
Here.
Hudson?
You betcha.
Hudson?
Here.
Reed?
Here.
Rogers?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
And Watson?
Here.
Let the record show that a quorum is present. Quick reminder to the members, all the microphones are on. There's an issue with the wiring, so you do not have to press it. They're all automatically on, which is a good thing. You don't have to press it. The bad thing is that they're on.
Right.
So... I want to ask everybody to please turn off your cell phones and this time, and remember, if you would like to speak, please turn in an appearance card. I would like to begin with introducing the subcommittee members. To my right, we'll start with my vice chair, Representative Porter.
Thank you. I am Elizabeth Porter. I am from District 10, which is the area consists of Suwanee, Columbia, Hamilton, and Baker County. And very interested in economic development and tourism, obviously, heart of the Springs and all of that. So very happy to be serving here.
Thank you,
Chair.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ben Albritton. I serve here in the House from District 56, which is Southern Polk County, all of Pardee County, and all of DeSoto County. Small business person, so I'm certainly interested in economic development and tourism. So just want to, of course, Chair, help you pass good policy.
Neil Combi, District 39, which is northern Imperial Polk and a small portion of Osceola County.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dane Eagle, representing 77, which is Cape Coral, where I was born and raised. I'm a businessman. My degree is in economics, and I work very closely with Office of Tourism and Trade Economic Development as the Deputy Chief of Staff to the Governor. So I'm very excited to be here. Look forward to working with you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Travis Hudson, St. Johns County, Flagler, Volusia. Also have a degree in economics and business. A small business guy myself in Flagler, and Palm Coast being one of the fastest growing counties and cities in this state, plus potentially to grow. I'm very excited about this and what I can do for the district.
Great.
Clovis Watson Jr., District 20, Alachua Parson, Marion County. I'm very excited to be on this committee. And I certainly, in my past life as a city manager, I retired after 30 years in municipal government. I'm very much interested in economic development, good stewardship of land use and land use plans, as well as our comprehensive plans in different municipalities. I think it's so very important that we look at creative ways to bring revenue to Florida, businesses, to get this economy going with these difficult times that we're experiencing. So I'm glad to be a part of a committee where I can be a part of this stewardship, and I help this chair do whatever he plans to do to facilitate that here in the state of Florida and District 20. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Matt Hudson, I represent District 80, which is the eastern part of Collier County and the county of Kendry, which is the communities of Clewiston, LaBelle, Montura, and Felda. I also represent communities like Immokalee, Ave Maria, Golden Gate Estates. And so my focus is on particularly economic development in rural communities, and in the case of Hendry County specifically, looking at the crown jewel of Lake Okeechobee and the opportunities that revolve around that.
Hello, Mr. Chair. My name is Betty Reed. I represent the eastern part of Hillsborough County, which is in Tampa, Florida. I have been have been in the past a small business owner. I know how difficult it is, and I'm certainly happy to be on this committee and would like to serve to make sure that we do not forget the small businesses that are truly suffering right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jimmy Smith, House District 34, Citrus, and a portion of Hernando County. And coming from a rural county that depends highly on tourism, that's always going to be an interest for us. But also the fact that it's going to be the rural areas that's going to probably grow the most in the near future, I look forward to working with you on diversifying our economy and making it better for the state of Florida.
Great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hazel Rogers, representing seven cities in Broward County, Central Broward County, of course, former city elected official for 12 years prior to coming here, president of the League of Cities in Broward County, and also very much involved in cultural tourism as another way of truly diversifying what we look at as tourism here in the state of Florida, and to make sure that the economics truly reflect our state as it relates to all the activities, economic activities, and tourism here. Thank you.
Representative Rogers is a Democratic ranking member, and we have Representative Castor Dental, if you could also introduce yourself.
Yes.
It's on.
It's on.
It's very loud.
All right. Thank you, Chair. I'm Karen Castor Dental. I represent House District 30 in the Orange County, Seminole County, that's Winter Park, Maitland, Eatonville, Altamont. And it's in the I-4 corridor in Central Florida, where the tourism industry is vital, and I'm looking forward to seeing what I can do to help.
Great, thank you. I would also like to take this opportunity to introduce our staff. Our staff director for the Economic Affairs Committee is Teddy Kramer. She's seated to my right. Our subcommittee administrative assistant, the excellent Chandra Goodwin. Our subcommittee senior legislative analyst, Pamela Duncan. I'm not sure where she is.
She's back.
Okay, Pamela. Our subcommittee legislative analyst, Adam Teckler, and our subcommittee legislative analyst, Danny Collins. My door is always open. Any questions you have, feel free to stop by. I know some of you mentioned in your comments that you're interested to see what agenda I'm going to push forward, but it's what agenda we're going to push forward. Any idea that you have as far as economic development, tourism, growth management, workforce development, I'm happy to hear it. We have an excellent staff. Make sure to use them as a resource. Make sure to ask them questions, and I'm sure that together we'll be able to guide the ship in the right direction. Let's start taking up the agenda. Members, the Economic Development and Tourism Subcommittee considers matters related to economic and community development, workforce development, unemployment compensation, tourism, affordable housing, growth management, and emergency management. The subcommittee's oversight responsibilities cover the Department of Economic Opportunity, Enterprise Florida, Workforce Florida, Visit Florida, Space Coast Florida, the Florida Sports Foundation, the Florida Housing Finance Corporation, and the Division of Emergency Management in the Executive Office of the Governor. The subcommittee also has the oversight over the historic, cultural, and library activities of the Department of State and the Department's Division of Corporations for various corporate filings. Today, we have the agency representatives here to provide us with overviews of their jurisdiction and structure. The first person that we're going to recognize today to give us his presentation is Derek McGee, Chief of Staff and Director of the Legislative and Cabinet Affairs from the Department of Economic Opportunity. Mr. McGee.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you so much for this great opportunity to come before you and present on our department. As the chairman mentioned, my name is Derek McGee, and I have the great privilege of being the department's chief of staff. And today there are multiple slides. My goal is to go through them very quickly. Happy to take questions at the end. I don't want to bore you with too much detail, but happy to answer any questions, and we're willing to slow down on requests. Opening up upon this slide, you're looking at the economic development system in the state of Florida. And what you see here is, I think, something very important. Two of our major partners in economic development is that of Enterprise Florida, or EFI, and that of Workforce Florida, WFI. This slide really shows you a good, clear indication of role delineation. To the left, you see that EFI's goal and assignment is to attract and expand business. So they're really the face of economic development in the state of Florida. Department of Economic Opportunity, our assignment is to coordinate, focus, and support. And it's important for me to emphasize this. If Enterprise Florida does their job well, and we as a department fell in our regard, we can be very impactful on affecting economic development in the state of Florida. In the latter part, on the right side, you see Workforce Florida's job is the catalyst of talent. When employers are looking to move to Florida, sometimes they're trying to increase their workforce, and they need help from Workforce Florida or WFI. So again, this is a good slide of role delineation. We work very, very well together, and it's important to know that. Our next slide here is just kind of laying out the department's vision and mission. Our vision is that of the governor, again, which is Florida will have the nation's top performing economy. He recognizes the world's best place to live, learn, work, and do business. And so instead of us having our own singular vision statement as a department, we have adopted what the governor has for the state of Florida. As we've all may have read and heard, the governor is 100% focused on jobs, 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 and that is the state's vision there. Our mission is that to accomplish and to complement the vision statement of the state of Florida. And again, in collaboration with our partners, and our partners along with EFI and WFI, it's also Space Florida, Visit Florida, Florida Housing Finance Corporation, and others. And so this is our mission statement here, again, to cooperate with and complement the vision statement for the state of Florida. This slide here is a high-level overview of our department in a sense. Section 20.60 lays out the divisions that were created by statute in our department. And there are two here that are not mentioned, being that of finance and administration, and that of IT or information technology. But these three here are the major pieces of our department. What's important to know is these names also represent the three entities that were created through 2156 and 2011 session, which created our department. Strategic Business Development is the former Office of Tourism, Trade, and Economic Development, or known as OTED. The middle one, Community Development, used to be that of the Department of Community Affairs. And then Workforce Services is that used to be Agency for Workforce Innovation. And again, Senate Bill 2156 of the 2011 session merged those three entities together, creating the Department of Economic Opportunity. And this department consists of these things. So as you see, we're involved in economic development, community development, and then workforce development or workforce services. And our assignment, our goal is to not only aid the governor and aid the state, but also to aid your constituents in that regard. Our next slide is breaking down those three major divisions. There's three things I really want to highlight in regards to the Division of Strategic Business Development, or SBD as we call it in-house. The first one is to monitor and audit economic development incentive performance. This is something that's very important to us. Prior to the merger, this was something that OTED did. And our assignment again is once Enterprise Florida does their job and does it well and either has a business to expand in Florida or create in Florida, one of the things that comes into a conversation is that of incentives. I know you read a lot of articles about incentives and there will be some dialogue this session, but our department is responsible for looking at the performance. Once you enter into a contract with a company, maybe 3 years or 4 years, and a certain amount of jobs at a certain salary, they're saying they're going to bring those jobs in, and our job is to make sure they're performing at the level the contract has required. Grace Swope, who's the president of Enterprise Florida and Secretary of Commerce, has a great quote that I like to emphasize, which is incentives don't make a bad deal good, but makes a good deal better. And so for us, it's not about giving a company incentives and having them come here. It's about what would they do in Florida? Are they going to expand here? Are they going to grow here? Are they going to attract here? And so that's important. The middle bullet is dealing with the film industry. Amongst the merger, the Office of Film and Entertainment is also under our purview. So this here, there's also some marketing and incentives requirements in the Office of Film and Entertainment. So within this division, they're also responsible for the film industry in Florida, which is very important. And the latter bullet is aligning planning efforts among many state agencies. There's one thing in the law, it requires that a lot of the major agencies that have economic development liaisons, which to work together, collaboratively together on economic development. Case in point, if I get a call from one of your offices and you have a business running to expand in Florida and you're dealing with a challenging with DEP, with permitting, DEP actually has an economic development liaison that we can actually get on the phone. Let him or her know what's going on. Their responsibility is to be able to cut down the barriers that are causing burdensome challenges to our businesses. And so within each state agency, there is a partner or an individual that we work with that helps us to expand or to grow business. For the first time in the history of Florida, economic development liaisons are actually created and working together. We have actually seen the fruit of that labor. It's a great partnership and a great effort. This slide here just shows a couple of our accomplishments within that division. Again, align and streamline economic development process. This is important, again, dealing with our partnership with our economic development partners. It's important to know our partners also consist of local government, consist of private associations in that regard. And the latter one is, last session, Senator Benequisto and others from the Senate Subcommittee on Tourism, Trade, and Economic Development Appropriations challenged us to create an incentives portal. Senator Sobel was the leader of that incentives portal where you as the public, whether legislators or the public behind me, can go out there and actually track, going back to the genesis of economic development incentives, be able to track a company who got an incentive, how much did they do good, bad, or indifferent. So that website actually shows you companies who succeeded and met the expectations, those who came up short, those who failed. It is ever revolving and evolving, and so we're always updating that portal. You go out there today and you go out there 3 months from now, you will see additional information added to that portal. But this is our way of showing the public that we're being good stewards of the dollars and of the incentives. But again, this was something that came to us from the Senate last year that we put in place. It did not require, initially, it was existing resources that we used. Our goal is to grow it a little bit more. We call it the Cadillac version, that of Salesforce. Enterprise Florida actually has a system called Salesforce, where they do everything in that system. What we're doing in economic development is making sure that all of the partners are using the same system, so that Representative Rogers asks a question as relates to an incentive, as relates to something that's going on. All of the partners are pulling from the same system, the same data. There will be no more confliction as relates to what we're saying and someone else is saying. Here is the Division of Community Development, again, formerly Department of Community Affairs. There are three major bureaus within this division. First is that of community planning. Some of you will know who have been around. You know, we did a bill several years ago, 2011. We did a major growth management legislation, giving more power to the local. They can power from the state. And community planning has a great responsibility. A couple of things I want to hit on I think are very, very important. One of them is a ladder bullet before you get to coastal programs, dealing with areas of critical state concern. That's something that's very important to us, trying to make sure we're helping those areas out and trying to assist them in that regard. We also do coastal programs, which is something that's very, very important. We have a great partnership and a great activity in the Florida Keys and areas of that nature. The second bureau within this division of economic development, and this is something that's new as relates to this division and then when DCA was in existence. Right before the department was created, a group called MGT Incorporated created a organizational plan or vision for how the department ought to look. One thing they proposed was creating economic development within community development, making sure that the community as a whole is playing a role in this. And so there were certain employees and certain programs that were once in OTED that were moved under community development to keep that partnership going. The first one is small business assistance, something that's very, very important. The U.S. Department of Treasury actually we applied for $97.6 million from U.S. Department of Treasury to be able to do a small business credit initiative. This is something I know Representative Rogers is very familiar with, had great conversations about this. This one is the design and the goal is to do a 10-to-1. So at the highest level of this program, Florida can actually have in return to a revolving door up to $978 million through this program. There are three phases to it by way of money. There are three programs. Department of Economic Opportunity and Enterprise Florida are partners in these three facets. We also do rural community assistance. We also do assistance with distressed areas, which is very important. Then you may be aware of enterprise zone programs. The third bureau of this division is housing community development. And this one's important because some of the names you see here, those funds come to us from the federal government, be it through housing and urban development or HUD as we know it. So a lot of these programs are important. Weatherization is something that's very, very important. Monies that are given to us to help weatherize homes, especially the homes of those who are less fortunate, those who have been damaged through some of our storms. The latter part are some of our grant programs, block grant programs. The latter one is something that's very important, neighborhood stabilization. That program is designed to help stabilize neighborhoods, weatherize those homes, and things of that nature. And so these are some things that's within that bureau. Again, this division has three bureaus that work very, very effectively in that regard. Some of the accomplishments, again, I've already spoke to the Small Business Credit Initiative. Other things that we've done, again, I mentioned the Florida Keys and our partnership there. And the latter one is something I'm very proud of, which is our strike teams. What we've done here is there are key individuals within our department who have subject matter expertise, who work together along with the local government to be able, again, to tear down any barriers. Just how we have it in economic development with our liaison. We also have it in community development by way of our strike teams being able to help out our rural communities. We understand that sometimes you're looking to expand in Florida or to grow in Florida or attract in Florida, sometimes the rural communities are overlooked. They also sometimes can be a great asset and a great benefit in that regard. Again, some more accomplishments that we have here. The latter bullet I think is very, very important. This is something that CDBG is known as Community Development Block Grant, which is a very, very important program. One of the things that we are envisioning and working very hard toward is putting CDBG more in alignment with economic development projects. So for example, if we're looking at a business looking to grow here and they want to also do some local government activities, CDBG can be very, very beneficial in that regard. There are some federal requirements that have to be met when you do that. Be that as it may, there are not many restrictions in state law that prevent us from being able to use that program. It's a new brainchild, but it's also very effective when it's used properly. Third and finally is our Division of Workforce Services. The three major portions of that is one-stop and program support, labor market information, and then reemployment assistance services. One-stop and program support is our team that works very closely with our one-stop throughout the state of Florida. You know, we have our regional workforce boards, which are 24 throughout the state. There are also one-stops throughout the state as well. And their desire and their design is to be able to help those trying to get back to work, being able to connect them with workforce training, things of that nature. Labor market information is very, very important because every third Friday of the month, we release the unemployment rates for the state of Florida. This office here actually does that. They also do some economic development forecasting. Under the merger, they're also assisting by way of doing REMI models and things of that nature, kind of scaling out. So, for example, if a member were to ask the question of, we're looking to bring a business to our area. Can you help us to see and to understand really what we're looking at in that spectrum? One of the most important things about economic development is you have to always be mindful of where you're trying to grow and expand the business. Case in point, in Brevard County, there are ready workforce there pertaining to former NASA employees and things of that nature. So you want to make sure if you move a company there, they can use their ready workforce right away. They're already trained, they're already prepared, and they're accessible. And so labor market statistics or information is very helpful in that regard. They could actually help you see and know and forecast what you're looking at. The latter bullet is important because last session, by way of the House and the Senate, we actually did a rebranding of unemployment compensation in Florida and renamed it to reemployment assistance. Florida is the first state of the 50 states to rebrand unemployment compensation. The focus and the goal is not to affect those who would qualify for the claims, but you also be able to assist them in getting back to a mindset and a training or reemployment. And so we're the first state. We work with U.S. Department of Labor to make sure we're in alignment with our rebranding, but that's what that bullet pertains to. This slide here kind of gives you a clear picture of workforce system in the state of Florida. You have Workforce Florida or WFI, you have DEO, and you have the 24 Regional Workforce Board. And what is important to know is, again, dealing with role delineation, each of us have a responsibility. WFI deals with policy. Our role is administration operation, meaning U.S. Department of Labor will send the funds to us to be able to be dispersed abroad. And then your 24 Regional Workforce Boards deal with the local delivery system. So they really are the boots on the ground assisting those areas that are there. Anytime we're trying to be available and accessible and helpful to the workforce, be it those who are unemployed, those underemployed, the Regional Workforce Boards are very, very helpful in that regard. The squares below that kind of gives you a little bit more information of three of the partnerships and responsibilities. But it's important to know that we work very, very closely together. We're very closely to make sure that we are assisting the workforce in the state of Florida. Again, some accomplishments by way of this division, again, we rebranded it for reemployment assistance. The middle one deals with a Florida State Strategic Workforce Plan. U.S. Department of Labor requires us to do a 5-year plan, which is the one we just did, which was 2012 through 16. And the latter one is we now give the governor a daily and a monthly job report. What we really do is each regional workforce board submits to us how many individuals they were able to help get into employment each day. There's almost a competition amongst the 24. We kind of put them on a sheet. Each day the governor gets this list. At the end of each month, he gets a list of the job placement report for that month. And that's something that's new under this governor, but we've been doing this on a consistent basis. Again, some more accomplishments that we also have through our department. One of the things the governor has challenged us is being able to streamline, consolidate, and produce savings in what we're doing, be it through our printing, be it through other manners. And so this slide here shows some of our accomplishments throughout the department as a whole. This is a policy committee, and I do understand that, but we wanted to give you a few slides on how our budget is made up. We are our department that consists of about $1.1 billion. What is important to understand, if you look at this slide, is a great percentage of our budget, if you look over to the left, is through federal trust fund dollars, U.S. Department of Labor, HUD, things of that nature. But our budget is $1.1 billion in its entirety. The seed trust fund, looking at $140 million, what's important about the seed trust fund is that this actually was created by this legislature in 2011, designed to be able to be a help in economic development. Now, what's important to know about Florida is Florida, unlike other states, we don't write blank checks and say fill it in. We're very conservative in our incentives. We're very conservative in the deals that we enter into. If I can use a baseball analogy, we do a lot of singles, doubles, and a few triples. But if you look at our record, we produce success in doing that. Very calculated, very mindful in that regard. Do we compete with other states? Absolutely. We really do. But there is a process that we adhere to. And in that regard, the seed trust fund is designed to assist in that manner. And again, $1.1 billion. Look overall, 6% of our budget is general revenue. Has other trust funds. Again, with a merger as big as our merger was, you have several trust funds within our department. This slide here kind of looks at our operating budget. It's a breakdown, again, of our three major divisions, SBD, Community Development, and Workforce Services, what their percentages in our department. And then the small 2% is executive leadership. What's important to know is that we're not top-heavy by way of our budget. That's an important point I want to emphasize. 2% of our budget pertains to administrative salary, things of that nature. But overall, again, that's the $1.1 billion. 46% of our budget is out of the workforce services, again, dealing with some U.S. Department of Labor dollars and things of that nature. And so this is a consistent and current operating budget for the Department of Economic Development. Mr. Chairman, thank you for my time. Hope I didn't go too fast. I want to be honorable of your time here, but I'm happy to answer any questions. And thank you again for the opportunity.
Mr. McGee, your presentation was excellent. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. McGee? Mr. Watson, Representative Watson.
Thank you, Madam Mr. Chair. The question I have, referencing the old DCA, Department of Community Affairs, and dealing with the municipalities and county government comprehensive plan and land use change in large-scale and small-scale development, what type of initiatives are you all doing to enhance the autonomy of the municipality and county government to have large-scale CI, commercial intensive, from ag, change those land use so that we can bring businesses to Florida so that they can operate effectively in their respective communities?
Mr. McGee?
Representative Watson, I respect you in your position, sir. One thing I learned here is never try to give us BS. With that being said, I'm going to defer. One of my division directors, Mr. Tom Baker, runs that division, is here to answer that. I want to give you an accurate answer on the spot, but it won't come from me. So, Mr. Chair, if you would allow, thank you very much. We'll give an appearance card.
Yeah. Please fill out an appearance card.
Mr. Chair, can I answer that?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. You're recognized.
So, Representative, we are about 90% of comprehensive plan amendments are expedited today. They take about half the time as they used to take in the old days, prior to 2011. Small-scale amendments are already been expedited. So we're only about 10% of the amendments require a more thorough process involving state and local issues. But again, 90% are expedited half the time. And in those types of amendments, we only focus on important state issues. We don't oversee any local issues for 90% of the amendments.
Representative Watson, recognized for follow-up.
Thank you. What type of state issues would you address? Traffic concurrency, things of that nature? Or?
Traffic concurrency is no longer a traffic schools and parks and recreation is no longer a state-required concurrency any longer. So cities and counties are free to rescind traffic concurrency and replace it with impact fees, mobility fees, or other funding types of mechanisms. The types of state, important state resources facilities we may raise during review of an expedited amendment would be impacts to, significant highways, so-called, strategic intermodal system facilities, major wetland systems. Fish and Wildlife may have a concern over a very significant threatened endangered species type of an issue. We've reviewed about 600 expedited amendments since the growth management reforms went into effect. The state agencies only had 12 objections. And in those 12 objections, we got with the state agency and the local government, mediated the issue in various ways, and none of those resulted to a challenge to a large-scale amendment.
Representative Rogers, you're recognized for question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's good to see you. Yes, good ma'am. To work with you. I'm going to take you back to the Small Business Credit Initiative, and you might be able to tell us, if not here today, how the program went, how successful it is across the state, and how much of the dollars did we expend?
Mr. Chair?
Recognized.
Again, this program, again, was originally $97.6 million from the U.S. Department of Treasury. The 10-to-1 is the goal, getting you up to a little less than $1 billion. There were three phases in this program, again, partnering with Enterprise Florida in that regard. We've drawn down, put a request in for the second drawdown from the U.S. Department of Treasury in that regard. We have been throughout the state doing small, medium, and large coalition meetings, things of that nature, partnering very, very closely. We've worked with the Florida Bankers Association, with the credit unions, things of that nature. One of our initial challenges, Representative Rogers, was the definition of small business. Okay. The federal government defines a small business as 500 employees or less. In my regard, that's a big business. Mm-hmm. But that's a challenge when you're looking at a program like this, is trying to look at those companies. And secondly, is looking at your financial depository list of what banks will be considered. Initially, I know some of the black business wanted to be involved in regards to the BBIFs and the BBIBs, and based on the depository that is kept, they didn't qualify. So right now, we have BB&T, we have Wells Fargo, and some venture capitalists are involved. Those are our two banks that are actually helping us in that regard. Our goal initially was to have a few small banks, medium-sized banks, and larger banks. Again, a challenge with employees of 500 or less, really, really challenging. Some of the banks were critical initiatives. That's why we began to work with FBA to try to help us promote the program. We have actually seen a turn in the tide where more interest is out there, more information. I will also tell you, based on some conferences our staff has went through, our state is not the only state experiencing some challenges. Some other states actually have found themselves experiencing some federal punishment by using the monies the wrong way. Florida was the second state with the largest installment behind that of California. We've had much more success in California, but each state is actually having a challenge that pertains to how it is done. But again, we've seen a tie and a turning of how it's working in Florida. Very optimistic. We just requested the second drawdown of three drawdowns. In our legislative budget request this year, we're actually asking the legislature for budget authority for that third installment. It is a partnership between the federal government and the state government. They can allot the money, but we need the state actually to give us permission to spend those dollars. And you guys have been a great partner in that regard. Representative Rogers, happy to come and spend more time with you in your office and kind of walk you through a little bit more. Definitely appreciate your partnership in this regard and want to continue to do so going forward.
Any further questions for Mr. McGee?
Thank you.
Mr. McGee, if you could provide the members of the committee with the five-year strategic plan for the workforce that you mentioned. And
absolutely.
Thank you for your presentation.
Staff.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Representative, thank you again so much for the opportunity. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. McGee. Next, I would like to recognize John Boyden, Deputy Secretary of Administrative Services, Corporations, and Elections for the Department of State. Mr. Boyden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to address the committee today. You should have in your packets an overview of the department's programs. I'll give you a brief summary of that information. The Department of State strives to improve the quality of life for all Floridians. We collect Florida's important public records and preserve its rich historical and cultural heritage for the benefit of generations to come. We help to promote economic development and create a competitive business climate for the state through our business-friendly corporate filing environment, grant programs that benefit all communities, enrichment of public libraries statewide, and support events that attract tourism. We contribute to the establishment of a stable and open government by providing access to information and protecting democracy through the oversight of fair and accurate elections. These services enhance Florida as a state and provide opportunities for our residents and visitors. Secretary of State serves as Florida's chief elections officer, chief cultural officer, and is custodian of the official state seal and state record. Florida Department of State serves voters, corporate officers, artists, archivists, preservationists, librarians, and many more. All Florida residents are touched in some way by the programs, services, and activities of the Department of State. The department is comprised of the Office of the Secretary and six divisions that carry out its programs, services, and responsibilities. The Division of Administrative Services is responsible for the administrative and technology functions for the department, including budget, financial management, purchasing, human resources, facility and property management, web services, and applications development for the Florida voter registration system and corporations. The mission of the Division of Elections is to provide statewide coordination and direction for the interpretation and enforcement of the election code. The Division of Historical Resources is responsible for identifying, evaluating, preserving, and protecting the archaeological, historical, and cultural resources of Florida. The State Historic Preservation Officer acts as liaison with the National Historic Preservation Program of the National Park Service within the U.S. Department of Interior. By state statute, the division holds title to all treasure trove, artifacts, and such objects having intrinsic or historical and archaeological value which have been abandoned on state-owned lands or state-owned sovereignty-submerged lands for administration and protection. The Division of Historical Resources is comprised of the Director's Office and two bureaus, the Bureau of Historic Preservation, and the Bureau of Archaeological Research. In addition, the division is responsible for operation and maintenance of Mission San Luis and the Grove, along with 14 other properties around the state. The Division of Corporations is the most active corporate filing entity in the country. The division serves as the state's central repository for a number of commercial activities that include a variety of business entity filings, trade and service mark registrations, federal lien recordings, judgment lien filings, uniform commercial code financing statements, fictitious name registrations, notary commissions, and cable and video service franchises. In the performance of its duties, the division is strictly ministerial and has no regulatory responsibilities. The Division of Corporations is comprised of the Director's Office and two bureaus, the Bureau of Commercial Recording and the Bureau of Commercial Information Services. The Division of Library and Information Services' core purpose is to promote equal and readily available access to information and to preserve the heritage of Florida for the benefit of its people. The Division collects and preserves information about Florida, its government, history, people, and culture. The division is also the designated information resource provider for the Florida legislature and all state agencies. The Division of Library and Information Services is comprised of the Director's Office in four major program areas: information resource management, information access services, development, and information systems. The Division of Cultural Affairs guides and facilitates cultural development and access to information and services for Florida citizens, artists, cultural organizations, and visitors through public-private partnerships. The division promotes arts and culture as a central quality of life for all Floridians. The division is comprised of the Director's Office in three program areas: Cultural and Museum Grant Program, Cultural Services and Information Program, and the Museum of Florida History and its programs. Thank you for this opportunity to give a brief overview. I would be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Boyden. For some of you new members, some of you returning ones, if you see the FTE, that's full-time employees, that's how many people it takes to run that particular section of their department. Any questions for Mr. Boyden? Well, thank you, sir, for your presentation. Members, Director Kuhn from the Division of Emergency Management cannot be here with us today. We have included an overview of the division in your packet. We will invite Director Kuhn to a subsequent meeting to speak and answer any questions you may have. Members, the next several months will be filled with challenges. I look forward to working with you and together making the state a great place to live, work, and play. Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak? Do any of the members on the committee have any questions, comments, concerns? Representative Rogers?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to take us back to the small business incentive, and I was glad that it was amplified that the federal criteria and definition of small businesses does not truly match Florida. We know we have a lot of small businesses, and we would say businesses with employees of 500 or less, in a range from 200 to 500, should not have great challenges in assessing funding. Sure. So as we move forward, we need to make sure when we attract these federal dollars that it truly reflects the type of businesses that we have here in the state. And we were trying real hard to bring our chambers in, and we brought in businesses with 25 or less employees. And I can assure you that none of those businesses qualified, and they were truly in need. The program also created some hardship in these economic times because of credit rating, and how it is implemented, and how, you know, your business is struggling, so your credit is not so good,
sure.
Right? So as we look to increase the economics of our state and to move businesses forward, we need to look at the economy as it is today and the reality of the economy as we plan.
Thank you, Representative Rogers. That's a great point. We'll definitely take a look at the access to capital for especially those smaller businesses and the difficulty that they have accessing that capital. Any other comments or concerns? Seeing none, thank you, everybody. It's my first meeting that I've chaired. With that, Representative Eagle moves we rise.